Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I'm excited to speak to you this morning. And can everybody just say this? In fact, if I was going to title this message, I would just call it Signs. Can you say it with me? Signs. Yeah, every once in a while, you just need a sign. Obviously, we've walked through just the craziest year ever. Can I get an amen? Just crazy? I mean, you just can't even make this up. And in fact, I would call this year, and I want you to lean in a little bit, I would call it a transition. And can I just share a few thoughts with you by the Holy Spirit? I think God's taking us from something old to something new. I think he's taking from an old wineskin to a new wineskin. From the setting sun of one day to the breaking of a brand new day. And there's always that weird part of transition in the middle where you can't quite figure it out. Where you're just going, okay, what has God up to? And I don't know about you, but transitions are always hard. Think back of every transition you've ever made, whether from one job to another job, whether there's always that weird period of fear, anxiousness, anxiety. How many are you tracking with me? You go, what's going to happen? Vaccine, do we get the vaccine? Do we don't get the vaccine? I saw people passing out who get vaccine. I don't know. Then I said, do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? Do we going to live? We going to die? I mean, you're walking all these things, these transitions. But if you'll think back of every transition you've ever made in your life, ever, ever, any transition that you've ever made that you knew God was in it, right? Where you went, man, the old to something new. It was fearful. It was scary. How many know it always ends up better once you make the transition? Once you make the transition and once you get into the dawn breaking, the new season, the new wineskin, when you break into it, then you go, this was good. This was God. I don't even know why I was so fearful. Thank you, God. Are y'all with me? So if you already know that, can I get a witness? Do I have a witness? If you already know that, let's go ahead and let's begin to thank him through it, because it's going to be good, because he is good and he only does good. I can promise you, I'm preaching. I don't care if I got COVID-19 fog or not. I'm still going to preach good. And so I want you to be encouraged. But sometimes you just need a sign. It's okay to go, Lord, can you just give me a sign? You ever been lost? And you just needed to see a sign. Where am I? Where are we? Where am I at? I need a sign. Now, some of you kids, forgive us older people in the room, we remember traveling before you had telephones with GPS systems on there. Anybody remember that? They used to have those, an atlas, right? Remember, how many of y'all remember an atlas? We still have an atlas. Heidi still carries one in her car in case the GPS system goes out. But how many know if that atlas doesn't do you any good without signs? You got to have a sign to know where you are. And so I want to preach this message called Signs, because sometimes you just need a sign. Lord, if you could just show me something, just give me a sign while we're walking through this transition, if I could just get a sign. I shared with the earlier service just a reflection that I had back when I was walking through a transition back in the early days of courting, dating the young lady on the front row with the curly hair. We had met in college, and that'd be my wife, Heidi. I saw some people look. Yeah, she's here. She's on the front row. And we had met in college, and, you know, it was that weird, we were friends, you know, kind of special friends. And then the friendship kind of went into, hey, and, you know, and you'd go out a couple of times or, you know, do some things together. And then, are you really dating? Are you not really dating? Are people say you're dating? Every time they see you are together, And then there was that weird, there's a transition, right? There's this, and you men are going to know what I'm talking about. I'm just reflect back for those who are married. You're going to remember this. There was that weird transition where you're going, okay, is it going to go to the next level? Is it going to get serious? And here was that transition. It was like when you had to figure out, you know, you had options. I mean, I don't mean options like girls. I mean, like, your friends wanted you to come watch the game with you, but you wasn't sure you should call her. Did you ask her to go to the game? Or you're used to your freedom, so you never ask her before about going on Saturday night to watch the game. So am I supposed to call her now and ask her, can I go? I mean, it was weird, right? How many men track it with me? Where you're going, okay, it's this weird thing. So, and so we were in this transition. And so I'm praying one day because I'm feeling this going, man, this is going to go to is this supposed to go to the next level? I mean, I'm not used to calling to tell her I'm going to a game. Do I call her? Lord, what's going on? This is weird. Why do I feel this way? And then I prayed. I said, Lord, I need a sign. Where's this going? And so I was actually in my devotionals reading a story about where a servant was sent to go find his master a wife. And he goes to a well and he prays for a sign. And this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, I'm supposed to find my master a wife. So here's the deal, Lord. Whichever one of these maidens comes up and says, would you like me to draw you some water? And if she says, can I water your camels too? Then that'll be the one. A sign. And so that's what happens. The lady asks, can I water your camels too? And I said, that is so cool. Okay, I'm going to do that, Lord. I need a sign. Is Heidi the one? Okay, Lord, here's the sign. I want this, Lord. What can I think of? Let's see. Lord, have her say, I'll do your laundry. Okay, y'all are so 2020. Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah, no, okay. We were in college. We'd never done laundry together. We're in college. We're just college students. And so I just prayed, Lord, just have her ask me to see if she could do my laundry. If she asks that, I'll know she's the one. That'll be the sign. A few days go by. I think we're at lunch, whatever, at the cafeteria, at the school, whatever. We're eating lunch. We're talking about, well, yeah, okay, what's going on with you and homework and all that. And this weekend, this is happening, whatever. And yeah, we're in the musical or something. I don't know. I don't even remember what it all was. And I said, man, I'm real busy every night this week. And she goes, oh, hey, I'm going to go do laundry tonight. Why don't you just bring me your laundry and I'll do your laundry? Heavens open, angels around. And there she is on the front row right now. She's married to me. Let's close in prayer. How many know sometimes you just need a what? Sometimes you just gotta have a sign. I want to show you in Scripture where you're going to find a man who needs a sign, but he's not willing to ask God for it. Wouldn't it be cool if God gave you permission to ask him for a sign? Let's go to the Bible. I want to take you to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to take you 740 years before Jesus is born. And I'm going to talk to you about a king by the name of Ahaz. He is the king of Judah. And other kings are plotting and forming alliances against him, and there's no way out. He's in a bad spot. He's in a transition. He's got armies at every side of him. He doesn't know what to do. And so he is actually going to form, it looks very bad, there's no way out, he's actually going to form an alliance with a group called the Assyrians. It's not a good thing. his enemies, God's enemies, he's going to form an alliance with some of God's enemies to protect him. Even though they are the people of God, he's going to form an unholy alliance. And God is going to send Isaiah, a prophet, to him to encourage him, to pour some courage in with the word of the Lord. And I want to take you to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore, the Lord himself, Isaiah the prophet, therefore the Lord himself, Ahaz, is going to give you a, I'm going to give you a sign. Now, what's he giving him the sign? Before I read any further, he's giving this sign because he wants to encourage him, to let him know that God is with him. He wants to show him during this time of transition, fear, anxiety, depression, I want to show you that I'm with you. Therefore, the Lord said himself, he will give you a sign. And here's the sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Now, let me jump to verse 10. I want to catch you back up to verse 14. Watch this. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz from the prophet. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven is or is deep, as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Oh, everybody tracking with me? You're going to need a sign. The prophet comes to Ahaz and says, the Lord says he will give you a sign. All you have to do is, as they say in South Louisiana, ask him for it. Just ask him. If you'll just ask him for a sign. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah in verse 13 said, listen well. He's a little ticked. Listen well, you royal family of David. Is it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? All right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Everybody still tracking with me? Let me explain. Hey, Ahaz, people of Judah, there is going to be a son born to a virgin, and it's going to come through you, Judah. You don't have to worry about all that is going on around you, because I have a purpose and destiny for Judah, which is going to be fulfilled. There will be a virgin. She will become pregnant. She will give birth, and he shall be called Emmanuel. It's going to come through you, Judah. You don't have to worry about what's happening around you, because I've got a purpose and a plan for you that will not be defeated. You don't have to go make alliances with Assyria or anybody else. You can put your trust in me, because this will be fulfilled. Look at me. You don't have to worry about what's going on around you, people of God, because there is a purpose and destiny for your life. He has got a purpose for you and a plan for you, and it will be fulfilled. This is about to be the greatest days of the church's life and yours. I promise you, we get through this transition, your later is going to be way greater than your former. Just keep your eyes on the promises of God. Walk with him. I promise you, in Jesus' name. Lord, we need a sign. Just, could you give us a sign? I love this. I don't know if you've read about this. And I'm not an astronomer, by the way. I have played one on TV. That tomorrow night, in the southwestern sky, there is going to be an alliance or an alignment of two stars that are going to come together as one, and they are going to call it, that's called the Christmas star. Have y'all read about that? The things you learn here. It's called the Christmas star. It hasn't happened in 800 years. Saturn and Jupiter are going to align tomorrow night. I will be out there looking in the southwest sky, kind of low on the horizon. Saturn and Jupiter, they're going to call it the Christmas star, hasn't been seen in 800 years. They've traced it back, the astronomers. I thought this was really cool. I'm not an astronomer. They've traced it back all the way back to 1 BC, around the birth of Christ. This has happened once in history that these three stars, or these two stars, aligned over a 90-day period about the time the birth of Jesus. So tomorrow night, about 6:30 to 6:30, southwest sky, I'll be out in a field looking southwest to see the star, the Christmas star. Could it be a... Could be. I'll be looking for it. A sign. Does God give us signs? In fact, he's telling Ahaz, you can ask God for a sign. If I could encourage you to do anything during the season that we're in, I'm calling it the season of transition, ask God for a sign. Here's a warning with this, and Ahaz gets the warning. Ahaz decided, instead of trusting God and asking for a sign, instead of trusting his word and the prophet, he started trusting his alliances more. I want you to be careful, because I think there is a tendency for all of us to put our trust in alliances, to trust in our own strength, to trust in our own wisdom, to trust in our bank account, to trust in Republicans, Democrats, and independents. How many of y'all figured out you can't trust in any of them? Have y'all figured that out? And so to trust in your own wisdom, your own strength. Christmas is our sign that God is for us. Every time this year, the world stops and we go, thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. The prophet was right. The sign was right. I don't know if the star's right or not, but I'll be in the field looking for it, that this is our sign that God is with us. Can you give God all the praise, thanking him? He is with us. Christmas is our sign. When you go back to the New Testament story of the Virgin Mary becoming impregnated, is that right? With a baby. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, verse number 35, I love the scripture, and many of you know the story, and I'll read it this coming Thursday night as we take communion together. I love this part where it tells in verse 35 that the angel replies to Mary, 740 years later, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This will be a sign. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the baby will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. Now, this is important, and I'm going to do a little bit of theology teaching this morning. He's going to be a baby, Son of God, a baby, but yet he's going to be the Son of God. Now, this is what we would call in theological circles that Jesus was fully human, just like you and I, but he was also fully God. He's both. In fact, let me show you what John chapter 1, verse 1 says. It says, in the beginning, the Word, which is Jesus, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't forget, Yella, you'll help me a little bit. John 1:14, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So he's fully God, but he's also fully man. Let's talk about fully God just for a second. He was born of a virgin. I don't have time to explain that to you, but you get the Jess, we have children that are young in here, so I don't have to explain that. It just means that there was the egg of a woman, Mary, but it was the seed of the Holy Spirit. It was not the seed of man. It was from the Holy Spirit. This is important because the seed of man has flesh patterns with it. In fact, the scripture tells us that these flesh patterns, or could call them generational curses or sin curses, which means we all have, Eugene, I have a propensity to sin. I have things that are weaknesses in me that you can probably trace to my father, to my father's father, and to my father's father. Am I the only one in this room that you can look back over your historical line and find out some of the sin patterns have passed through generation after generation after generation? Thanks be to God, when you got born again, you got a new nature and you broke that sin pattern from generations to come. Got any chain breakers in the room? Can I hear you? You go, you just look back over the line, divorce. You can see it going through your family and hopefully you go, no, no, we're breaking that. Now listen, it's why important that you understand this. When I break that, then I keep William, my son, from having to fight the same things that I had to fight. So either you want to beat it, you don't want to pass it down to your children. Jesus was born of a woman's egg, but a God seed. So he didn't have that. So he's fully human, fully God, excuse me, but he was also fully man, which means he was a baby. If I'm God, I'm not sending down a baby to a 14-year-old virgin. Dependent on a mother, a father, Joseph, who adopted this baby as his own. If any of you in here, if any of you men are in here and you've married a woman who has a baby and you adopted that as your own, well done. Well done. We honor you for... You like Joseph, raised this child as his own, had to be taught, had to learn, had brothers and sisters. We'll go into that in another message. You know, wouldn't it be terrible if your brother was Jesus? I mean, he was like, he's so perfect. He does everything right. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I mean, he had to learn. He was even tempted. Jesus was tempted. Yeah, Jesus was tempted just like he was a teenager. You know how girls are when you're a teenager and you're a good-looking Jesus? I know. Fear, anxiety, temptation, pressure, all of the things that he understands. Let me show you Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Get this about fully God, but yet fully man. Watch this. Now that we know that we have Jesus... Jesus, the great high priest, your priest, with ready access to God, let's not let this slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. We're going through a transition. We don't have a God who's out of touch with your reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him. Let's go to him and get what he's ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. Can we just take a moment right now this morning? We just need the mercy and the help, don't we? We've got a Jesus who's fully God, but he's also fully man. He's walked through everything we've experienced before. He says, well, so since that, why don't you go to him and get the mercy and the help that he's ready to give you? Would you just lift your hands with me? Father, we come to you today, now, in this moment, we thank you that we have a high priest who's taken everything that we've walked through, experienced it all, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the doubt. And Lord, we just give it to you. We ask you now for mercy. Would you just say it? Lord, give me mercy. And Lord, would you just give us the help we need? Thank you that you got a purpose for us. Lord, you've given us signs every single Christmas that we're your people and you're going to walk us through this transition, and it's going to go from one day to the next day. And Lord, we thank you that it's going to be even better. In Jesus' name, we say thank you for the help. And all God's people gave him the praise. Come on, why don't you do that? Thank you, Jesus. Victor's going to help me. It's going to take me a minute, but I am going to close. I remember when 10 years ago, for those who are newer to our church, when Pastor Jacob and Michelle sent Heidi and I and our family to Opelousas to start this work. And the Badons were here in the earlier service, and this church started in a small group, just a group of people that were meeting in a house. And we started talking about a church. And what did we want this church to be? And we would sit around the room and pray, talk about it, dream about it. And we would say things like this. It's got to look like our community. It's non-negotiable. We live in a 50-50 white-black community. It needs to be 50-50 black-white. And it's got to look like that. We gotta reach people. We gotta tear down labels that people put on people, because people put labels on people that God never puts on people. We put like RDs and I's and blacks and whites and rich and poor. We put all those. I said, let's just use, what label did Jesus use? Why don't we just go with Jesus? That'd be good, huh? Jesus only used two labels: lost and found. That's it. Only two kinds of people: lost people, found people. Lost people, found people. And that's what we did. We got here, got rolling, a couple years in, and here was the number one question was asked. Heidi and I were living in Lafayette with our family and driving back and forth each week, and here was the number one question everywhere we went, in town, met people, whatever, starting this church, where could you come? When you moving here? When y'all gonna move? When y'all moving to Opelousas? Are y'all moving here? Because if you ain't moving here, it was our intentions to move. We just hadn't happened yet. And they would say, when y'all gonna move here? It's a good question. Eugene Peterson, who wrote a book called The Contemplative Pastor, said, there is a rhythm and a language to every community. And I think that's true. And y'all know Opelousas and St. Landry Parish is different from Lafayette. Did you know that? It is. I like this one better, just for the record. It's just different. Every community has a rhythm and a language. So when they say, when you gonna move here? I didn't quite understand it at first, but then started clicking. There's a political environment here, a social environment. There is an economic environment, but I think it's even bigger than that. Here's what I think was really asking. Will you move here so you can feel what we feel? Will you move here so when we rejoice, you can rejoice? Will you move here so when we hurt, you'll hurt too? Will you come and be among us so you could be a part of us? Now, I remember when we did, finally, we tried. We looked for homes and houses and all that. And finally, Heidi tells the story better than I do, but she goes to the post office here in Opelousas and gets the little form, you know, like the, change of address. Gets the change of address, and the post office person just goes, y'all are moving from Lafayette to here? Nobody moves from Lafayette to here. It's why God could have done it any way he wanted to. But as a sign, he said, no, no, no. I'm going to take the egg of a woman and the seed of God so that he could come as a baby. So he could walk among us, live among us, feel what we feel, hurt when we hurt, rejoice when we rejoice, so that he could take on, so that he could be part of us. A sign. Christmas is our sign. Remember that undercover boss? Anybody ever watch that? Where the big boss from the big company leaves his corner office, puts on a disguise, and works among his employees, with his employees. And every time you ever watch that show, he realizes, oh my gosh, look what these people are going through. And he changes his entire company. And we've got a boss that left heaven, that came here and lived among us so he could understand us, to give you the grace that you need, to walk with you when you're fearful. You can go to him because he's got mercy and help for you, because he's walked through it himself. When you're anxious and fearful and don't know what to do, you can cry out to him and call out to him. And he says, I've been there with you, and I'll see you through this. We've got one that not only came, died, but he rose from the dead to take away every last fear you would ever have. What a Jesus that we serve. Are you with me? It's a sign that God is with us. Sometimes you just need a sign. There was a judge who was approached by a friend to take care of a speeding ticket. The judge took the citation and said that he'd take care of the matter. And a few weeks later, the friend stopped by the judge's office to see him. And, you know, he asked the question, hey, were you able to dismiss that ticket for me? And he answered, I took care of it. And the friend pushed the issue and asked, well, what do you mean? You just dismissed it, right? You just did your judge thing. Just dismissed it. No, the judge replied, I can't just dismiss it. After all, you were speeding, right? And Heidi said, yes, I was. Yes, the friend replied, I took an oath to uphold the law. So I couldn't dismiss it. I had to pay for it. Everybody look right here. I think it's important we understand this revelation. Jesus can't dismiss your sin. He can't just dismiss it. He had to pay for it. It had to be paid. And he did that by stretching his arms out, taking the lashes upon his back and the nails through his hands and feet, and the crown upon his head. He had to pay for it. Your sin and my sins have not been dismissed. It's been paid for. And Christmas is the sign that the Son of God became a man so that a man can become a son of God. Are you with me? Christmas is our sign to remind us that the Son of God became a man so that a man can become a son of God. That demands your gratitude and your praise. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship you. Thank you. Now listen to me. So you need a sign. I need a sign. Christmas is our sign. I'm going to be out tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, looking for a sign. I want you to pray for a sign. I'm going to pray for us in a moment that the Lord would give you a sign this Christmas. Though we may be walking through a transition right now, transitions are hard. They are hard. But the promise is that God has a purpose and destiny for you. he's not done with you and that the next season's going to be greater than the last season. Quit praying for things to go back to normal. Pray for the new normal. It's going to be better than the old normal. Pray for the new normal. And God's going to be in, is with us, and Christmas is our sign. Amen. 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 All right, listen, I want to pray with you for you. Let me ask you this. Could you do this? Just a little application. More than any Christmas ever, this is just daddy talking now. Prepare him room. Don't miss the moment. Don't get caught in the trappings of Christmas. This is a Christmas like we ain't never seen before. Prepare him room. Invite him into your household and into your family. And just like when guests come over your house, you prepare rooms. Create some space. Don't get caught up in the trappings. I'm going to call it party with a purpose. As we celebrate Christmas, you know, 5 o'clock on Thursday, prepare room, get room. Hey, we normally haven't gone to Christmas Eve. Come to Christmas Eve communion. That's preparing him room, that we're inviting the most special guest in our life, Jesus, like never before. And when you got small kids, things like that, you know, back when our kids were little, we cooked a chocolate cake, happy birthday, Jesus. They sang all that on Christmas Day. Invite Jesus into, prepare him room. And so I want to make sure that you're focused on that. Don't miss this moment like ever before. God is calling us back to himself like never before. I've never seen this in 31 years of ministry. He's talking to us, church. He's talking to us. He's calling us. Come, come be with me. And I pray, Father, can I just pray for you right now? Father, I just ask, Lord, that we're in transition. You sent a prophet to a king to ask God for a sign. I think you're giving us permission to ask you for a sign that you're with us. Lord, as we come into this Christmas season, getting prepared and our hearts ready, I pray that you would show up like never before, that we would feel and sense the presence of the Holy Spirit like never before. And Father, we ask you, I'm asking you on behalf of your people, that you would show them a sign. And when they see it, they'll know it. Thank you, God, that you're with us. You're Emmanuel, God with us. We receive this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today. Christmas is the moment. Maybe today you need to receive this Lord and Savior Jesus. He died for your sins. In John chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "What do I have to do to receive eternal life?" A very religious man. And he said to him, "You must be born again." Born again. Not go to a church, not be a part, not our Savior's church, not the Catholic church, not any church. He said, "You have to be born again." Pastor, how do I get born again? It's easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, our propensity to sin. We've all sinned. I've sinned. You've sinned. B, believe that Jesus came to be the penalty payer, to pay for it, not to dismiss it, but to pay for it, which means my sin caused Jesus to go to a cross, to pay for my guilt, my sin, and your shame. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. And today, if you'd like to be born again, I'll lead you in a simple prayer. You just got to mean it from your heart. I want to pray with you and for you. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up all over the room today? I want to pray for you. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. You're right. I want to be born again. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Congregation, can we just add our faith to theirs? Let's pray this out loud together. We say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again." Let's declare this together. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's say one more thing, will you? What? I just want to read this over you real quick. Just real quick. Would you stand to your feet? William, I'll give you a few announcements. Let me just read this over you. This hit me in the back. I'm kind of staying in the back because of our COVID thing. Here's what I want you to hear. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, hey, my brothers and sisters from St. Landry Parish, whatever's true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, if anything worthy of praise, think about those things. As for the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Would you say, I receive that?